Heavenly Father, let us extend our thoughts and meaning as we work to enrich the lives of our residents. Let our deliberations be free of rancor and filled with the concern of others rather than ourselves. Let us plan beyond the obvious that we might protect our neighbor from the unintended consequences of a shallow thought. Let us remember that we are the people serving, not they ours. Let us proceed in peace. Amen.
Thank you. I'd like to call this morning's Kennel County Board adjourned September meeting to order. Roll call, please.
Ms. Sussex?
Present.
Ms. Flowers? Mr. Giles?
He will not be here.
Ms. Gilmore?
Here.
Mr. Greider?
Here.
Ms. Hendricks?
Here.
Mr. Kellogg?
Here.
Mr. Prochaska?
Here.
Mr. Purcell? Ms. Vickers?
Here.
You have a quorum.
Did you mention Flowers?
Yeah.
Okay. She will not be here today. All right. With a quorum being present, are there any additions or corrections to the January 15th minutes? Otherwise, may I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second. Motion by Hendricks, seconded by Gilmore. Discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. All ayes. May I have a motion to approve the agenda as written?
So moved.
Second. Motion by Hendricks, seconded by Gilmore. Any discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. And for the record, Mr. Purcell is present. Special recognition. I wanted to take a minute. As we know, on Friday we had a tragic mass murder that took place in Aurora. I want to thank the first responders who did not hesitate to take action when called upon. There were five officers that were injured on the scene. Two officers underwent surgery Friday, and three others were treated and released by Saturday morning. Their names have not been released. The five officers who were fired on almost immediately upon arriving to multiple calls of an active shooter at the water valve manufacturing plant, Henry Pratt Company. They range in the age from 23 to 53. Three of the officers had at least 24 years of service with the department. There were also five individuals who lost their lives and a sixth who suffered wounds. Three of the deceased were members of our Kendall County community. These murders bring to mind the suffering that was reopened last year when the State of Illinois Parole Board released murderer Carl Ryman. There are widows, parents, children, and friends, and members of our community who will never forget and who will always be affected. And I'd like to take a moment to recognize each of the victims. The first person I'd like to recognize is Clayton Parks of Elgin. He was a 2014 NIU graduate, Northern Illinois University, and the HR director. Trevor Wayner was an HR intern at the Henry Pratt Company. He also attended Northern Illinois University. It was his first day at Henry Pratt. And I do want to mention there are a couple, including Trevor, that have set dates for visitation. His will be 2 to 7 p.m. on Wednesday in Sheridan, Illinois at the Gable Dunn Funeral Home, and then a 7 p.m. funeral. Josh Pinkard of Oswego. Pinkard was the plant manager at the Henry Pratt Company and had held the position since he relocated to the Aurora area in 2018 from Alabama. Some of you may have seen this, but his wife had received a text saying, "I love you, I've been shot at work." He leaves his wife, Tara, and three children, and arrangements for him will be in his home state of Alabama. Russell Beyer of Yorkville, class of 1990. There are many that I've spoken to in the community or seen on social media that recall Russell. He was a 20-year mold operator and union chairman who tried to help keep the job, and his father Ted also worked for Henry Pratt for four decades. And finally, last but certainly not least, is Vicente Juarez of Oswego as well. He was a forklift operator for 15 years and described as a family man who is also meticulous with his dandelion patrol in the neighborhood. He leaves behind three children and eight grandchildren. His visitation also was scheduled for 3 to 7 p.m. on Thursday at the Dunn Funeral Home in Oswego on Douglas. As we heal as a community, let us also help them heal as families. One way that we can do this is that the City of Aurora, the Aurora Police Department, and Aurora Fire Department have set up a GoFundMe account. It's called the Aurora Strong Community Fund, and as of this morning, immediately prior to this this meeting, they had raised $88,680. Their goal had been to raise $50,000, so they're well on their way. Hashtag Aurora Strong. And we will have a link on our county website as well for those that have interest in seeing that. So with that, I would like to just ask everyone to have a moment of silence as we reflect upon them and what took place last week. Thank you. And Sheriff Baird will have a more detailed update on the first responder response under his report in a few minutes as well. Citizens to be heard. You have 5 minutes.
Thank you. Todd Millen, Yorkville. Thank you for the appointment to the County Solid Waste Committee for Citizens Advisory. I look forward to serving on that committee with the other members that are being appointed and the representatives from all the municipalities and other government bodies in Kendall County. Matt and our chairman, when you guys ran, you ran on a platform of transparency, and we've made much progress with that transparency initiative. But I think we can take it a little further. I would like to see the audio of the committee meetings put on the county website. That way it's readily accessible. For citizens that is not as seasoned as me, if you want to get the audio, you have to go see Matt at PBC or Valerie at county administration, or if you want the audio, this one's usually posted, but it's not all in one place. And it could be. Scott's basically an IT guy, came out of that department. I've heard him say that let's put it all online, and it's wouldn't be that hard to do. It just needs to have a workflow done after the meetings are done to hand those digital recordings off to his department or the IT department and get them posted. And I mean, if I want something, I ask Valerie, call her up, and she gives it to me just like that. So if I can get it like that, there's other citizens that are maybe not as aware of how to go about doing that. It should be on the website, and it should be readily available. So I'm encouraging you all to think about that. I don't think it's going to be costed anything additional. It's something we're already doing. It's just another field on that website to post it and put it up there. And folks who want to miss the meeting, that are interested in what's going on at one of those committee meetings, can log on and access that audio information at the committee meetings without having to go through FOIA. I mean, I'm on a first-name basis with Valerie and Matt. Basically, it just takes a phone call, but other folks have had to do FOIAs for those audios. It's public record. It's something that should be readily available. And I'm encouraging you all to put it on the website. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other citizens to be heard? Thank you. If you just say your name, and you also have 5 minutes.
Thank you. I'm Priscilla Gruber. Good morning.
Morning.
Unfortunately, I'm here to say I am disappointed and outraged. On February 11th, this county voted no limits on backyard shooting near our homes. Anyone can shoot any weapon at any time, anywhere, in any manner, in unincorporated areas, even in subdivisions full of homes. Not even a berm is required. Good luck if your home is behind a shooter's target. Any consideration of protections for residential areas from totally unregulated backyard shooting was abruptly voted down by your members on your Law, Justice, and Legislation Committee. At this first meeting to work on it, you eliminated all consideration for 2 years. What do you think your home would sell for if many high-powered rifles are shooting next door? Shooting of deadly weapons by any number of people is allowed in any direction, right on your lot line, any time, day or night, with not even a berm to protect your family and home. If you call the police, they can do nothing to stop or limit it. This is the law now, and it will not be looked at for at least 2 years after this vote. As a citizen and homeowner, I am outraged that three of our elected board members, with no objections from the many other county officials present, voted against any regulations whatsoever for discharging firearms in our residential neighborhoods. While lawful hunting is not affected and is always allowed, Illinois law authorizes counties to regulate or prohibit backyard target shooting in residential areas, as Lake County has done, for example. Homes there are protected. Ours are not. We and other families here have experienced bullets shot into our homes, on our decks, and whizzing over our backyards. That is why we asked you to take action. You did. You declared open season on our homes, in my view. A resounding denial to our appeal for safety for our families. Most disappointing. I understand you want to protect some property owners' desire to practice shooting their firearms on their land, as has been traditional here on farms. The problem is that today, that activity interferes with nearby residential property owners' rights. Is it necessary to be safe from stray bullets being shot into their homes or yards? Is it necessary for everyone to practice shooting in his own backyard when we have at least 7 commercial gun ranges in this county? With no limits at all as it is now, we are not safe in our homes, and with the war zone level noise at all hours that unlimited shooting produces, our homes are neither livable nor saleable. Years ago, limits may not have been needed when our population was much less, and farms were not near others' homes, and our people were not shooting high-powered, repeating military-level weapons designed to kill many people fast and shoot for miles. Today, our county needs to protect the safety and proper property rights of all its citizens, not just the backyard firearm practice shooters. If we ask, I think we will find that most residents and voters here want that protection. I ask you to do just that by adopting necessary limits on shooting in residential areas. Our property rights and even our lives depend on it. I hope it won't take a serious injury to someone to get this addressed by this county. Thank you.
Thank you. Other citizens to be heard? Any need for executive session at this time? Old business? New business? May I have a motion to approve Farm License Agreement 19-02-003 with Rock Creek Land and Cattle LLC, Jason Brummel, Don Brummel, and Jeff Brummel of Yorkville, Illinois, for the lease of 99.42 acres of district property at Fox River Bluffs Forest Preserve for a total amount of $26,346.30 and 9.45 acres of Kendall County property for a total amount of $2,504.25. Motion by Hendricks, seconded by Sesich. Any discussion?
Mr. Just Kellogg. One comment. Through the Finance and Forest Preserve, we've talked about this lease. The acreage is yet to be determined because of the access road that the county has put through the property that the county owns. So there'll be an amendment or something getting the exact number for the county at some point, and that'll be paid directly to the county by the lessee.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Ms. Sessich?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
All ayes. Thank you. May I have a motion to approve resolution granting the Kendall County Sheriff the authority to enter into facility use agreements on behalf of Kendall County?
So moved.
Motion by Vickers, seconded by Hendricks. Any discussion on this? Roll call.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sessich?
Yes.
Thank you. All ayes. Elected officials report and other departments report. Sheriff.
Good morning and thank you. Under my report, I did briefly want to talk about our response to the call up in Aurora. We had, I'll read off the list of names of those that went up. Sergeant Mark Bunting, Inspector Bob Luckowitz, Detective Brian Harl, Detective Kevin Vavlovic, Deputy Zach Schmidt, Deputy Brian Magos, Deputy Karen Hansen, Deputy Frank Pavlik, Deputy Joe McElory, Deputy Jason Larson, and Deputy Paul Kabitsky. I think there's around 10 from Oswego. I know Montgomery had, I think, three or four. Yorkville, I think, had two or three, and Plano had one. We actually, every car we had on duty wanted to go up to Aurora that day. They all called out to go. We had to call some of them, told them not to go, because we needed to maintain safety down here. So not one of them hesitated to go. I do want to thank the board. A couple of them actually thanked me for some of the training that they have received. That stuff cannot go on without the support of this board. So I really want to say thank you for that. When we're training, you know, every month of the year, sometimes we get criticized for it, but in times like this, it pays off. Aurora goes through the same training. Obviously, minimizing the loss of life up there was paramount. It's unfortunate the five people were deceased. I can tell you one of the officers that was hurt. I know three of the five. One of the officers was hurt was actually used to be a Plano police officer back in the early 90s, but he's recovering fine. Today, when you guys said, you know, you guys granted me the authority to enter into an agreement for training facilities, that's the type of stuff that we appreciate so we can make sure that we continue our training on to the next level. And as you read in the packet, that was with using the Oswego facility. Again, that's close here, but I wanted to say thank you for that. And if there's any questions, I also want to thank Dr. Tokars, who at a moment's notice, her and her staff came over per our policy and just the right thing to do. She conducted a critical incident debriefing at our sheriff's office before all the deputies were allowed to go home. She actually did two sessions. One of our deputies, it was more involved in the call up there. He didn't come back right away. He had to stay up there for a little bit. So she conducted a separate critical incident debriefing with him later on that evening. So all the deputies were allowed to take off the next day, but none of them wanted to take off. They all wanted to come back in and to work that day. So it's kind of dedication you have from the men and women.
Sheriff, I also wanted to thank you for your leadership. You know, first keeping this board informed, you know, as it was going on. When I first spoke to the sheriff, you know, there were phones going off in the background, there were radios going off in the background. I think that was one of the, you heard over the radio while we were talking of an officer being injured. And you know, your cool under fire is just impressive to me. I've seen it before, and I saw it again in action on Friday. I also heard this. I was in touch with the chiefs from Oswego, Yorkville, and Plano. They all said the same thing, that they're grateful for your leadership in the county. Mayor Richard Urban also reached out, thanked Kendall County for our support, and specifically for you for your efforts as well. And I understand there's going to be a debrief this week that you're leading. One of the chiefs mentioned that and said that they were grateful that you were putting that together, just so that, you know, while this was a tragedy, it's an opportunity for you all to learn as well. So I wanted to thank you and especially, you know, as well as our deputies that that helped out in this.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Yeah, I got my Richard Irvin bobblehead.
That's probably why you thanked me.
That's probably all I have, you know, about now. I did put out a couple emails to the board on last week. It was a busy week in the sheriff's office last week, so but we got through it and we're on to a new week. So, and I didn't know if there was any questions on the next two items under my report. If so, I could answer those while I'm up here.
So I guess I'd look for a motion to approve the Chicago HIDTA Drug Intelligence Officer Service contract with Kendall County as the fiduciary agent, effective March 12, 2019 through March 11, 2020, in the amount of $84,975.
Second.
Motion by Hendricks, seconded by Gilmore. Are there any questions on this? Roll call.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sussage?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
All ayes. Thank you. May I have a motion to approve Chicago HIDTA Deconfliction Analyst Service contract with Kendall County as a fiduciary agent, effective March 3rd, 2019 through March 2nd, 2020, in the amount of $75,000.
So
motion
second.
By Hendricks, seconded by Sussage. What's a deconfliction analyst? I apologize.
Deconfliction analyst would be if, say, someone from another state was going to start investigating someone in our state. What you do is you run your targets through what they call a deconfliction computer, so or a program, mm-hmm. And then if if you're going to be working a case, in layman's terms, if you're going to be working a case on Audra, and somebody else wants to start working a case on Audra for narcotics, they would enter that information in the computer, and they'll say, "Wait a minute, Scott and Matt are working a case on Audra," and then you guys can compare notes. And then when, if there's a buy bust that goes on, when you want to arrest the person,
meaning
Audra, that you would not, like, usually they're in plain clothes, so it minimizes the possibility of two separate law enforcement agencies investigating the same person, coming together on the same deal, and then causing harm to one another. And you wouldn't mess up another case, and Leslie's probably familiar with this on the attorney side, because sometimes the U.S. and the state will argue about who's going to charge who. But this deconfliction is done in the beginning, and it's basically for the safety of all officers involved.
All right. Thank you. Do you have a question? Okay.
And just in Illinois, the HIDTA, it goes all throughout the United States and even into other countries with Interpol and stuff like that.
Okay. Roll call.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
First one.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sussage?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
I have
a question. All eyes. Ms. Hendricks.
I'm sorry, but I need to back up from the street. Mm-hmm. My understanding is that the shooter had his concealed carry and his FOID card revoked. And I'm just wondering if anybody here knows about why his weapons were confiscated. Should, under law here, what's the law regarding that?
Well, his CCL was never revoked because it was never issued. Just his FOID card was revoked. If you go on the website, they're supposed to turn their weapons in within 48 hours of receiving that notice.
I guess that's where I'm going is, yes, I know. And when they don't, then what happens? So maybe we should make a push with our new counties groups.
Thank you. I'm looking at our representative.
Well, I'm wondering if we should pass a resolution and we'll start on that. That's a serious, but for that happening, I mean, I'm sure it's easy to get another gun. Like, that happens all the time. But I don't think we should just let them keep them all. It doesn't seem. And I think the victims of this tragedy would agree.
We've confiscated several guns from people that their FOID cards would revoke. It's usually when we're responding to a call or it's on a traffic stop or something like that. There's some debate on that obviously going on right now. But the state of Illinois licenses it. They regulate it. So I would probably look into that. But I can tell you that I was on the phone with one of our state legislators yesterday A couple lobbyists have called me as well on where do we go from here on some ideas. I would probably sit back and see what legislation's coming out, because there will be something, I'm 99% sure, in response to this. So
the deadline to submit legislation was 5 days ago, as your leader. So it would have to be one of the leaders that submits that, but I think we need to dot that I and cross that T and get behind a push for that. And anyone who's been a victim of a shooting where the person has their license, or because in other states it's different, to carry revoked, and that wasn't dealt with, how do you feel about that? Like, that's inexcusable that person still have weapons. It's inexcusable.
Thank you. Thanks, Sheriff.
Thank you.
County Clerk?
My revenue report is in the packet, and we begin early voting on Thursday. We've approved our ballots. We will be getting our ballot printer programmed and ready to go.
And 221, that's the...
221.
Is that just here, or is that...
Yes, just here. We won't be opening as we go in Plano till March 18th.
Has that ballot been displayed yet? I mean, is it anywhere online?
We just approved
okay.
it. Like, we've had changes and whatnot, so...
So it's just been... Are you going to put it online at
mm-hmm.
all?
Yeah, it will be getting it up online.
Thank you. Treasurer, Ms. Furco.
Good morning. You do have my report in front of you. I really don't have much to add to that, so if there are any questions.
Mr. Purcell.
Surprise.
Nice scarf, Jill, but I
thank you.
To say that.
Too late, you already did.
I
don't
think you did already.
It's like dealing with my kids.
Go take that.
Jill, thank you for sticking around with finance the other night.
Oh, no worries. I will hope to have some additional. I know, I think you did get the letter from Dan. And
did we get one?
Yeah, he's
and the email.
Yeah. So and yeah.
Oh, I
and but like I said, I think with those two Wendat Ridge Raintree and Lakewood going on, it's kind of like I don't want you guys. Okay, I want you all to be like looking at it apples to apples, not apples to oranges, because there are two kind of different situations that are happening. While the end effect will hopefully be the same. But there's kind of like two things. So I'm hoping today to kind of look through everything. I don't really have a lot of information on the Wendat Ridge because I don't know parcels or what, you know, that is. So I don't, you know, I'm hoping to get some of that. But I do have a pretty good idea what is going on with the Lakewood at this time. So I'm kind of hoping to get some information so that you guys can like compare them somewhat side by side so that you're understanding what you're getting with both of them.
Mr. Purcell.
Just for, I guess, those who weren't at the meeting, the finance meeting, we discussed another SSA in one of the Lakewood parcels in Plano North. I mean, I'd call it northwest of town. Technically, it's the town. Was that Little Rock Road there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Past mm-hmm. the high school, going north. But the one thing Mr. Kramer's clients are proposing, which is different, is they're proposing to eliminate the SSA.
Yeah.
Where the group we heard Thursday at Macau, the SSA would continue. So there's some differences, there's some similarities, but just want people to be aware of that is, to me, one big difference is the elimination of SSA. That way, if nothing ever got built, we wouldn't be dealing with this in 10 years ago. Is one of the concerns.
And they have removed the SSAs on those 40 parcels. They have been eliminated. When you look at our tax record, there's no SSA on those 40
so
parcels at this time.
If the heck again next year and no homes are built, if we had this agreement in place, we wouldn't be dealing with this issue again in 10 years or 15 years.
Did they eliminate as to the parcel, just the vacant parcels or to everybody?
Just those 40 vacant parcels.
Just the one they're asking us
just
to.
Just the ones that they're asking to look at.
But we're still waiting for Jill said some more information discussion. Yeah. But there is a difference from that aspect.
Thank
yes.
you. Mrs. Gilmore.
Well, that kind of answers my question. For those of us not on the finance that are not part of this discussion at all, can you briefly give us some kind of a explanation.
Sure. So I haven't been in on a lot of the conversations with the Wind at Ridge, so I can mostly speak to the Lakewood. So there are about 200 parcels, vacant lots, that have been on the tax rolls for 10 years. They are all in forfeitures at this time. What they are doing with that group of parcels, so there's a group of people that have come together, they've bought the bonds, they've paid them, and so basically they are looking right now at 40 parcels. And on these 40 parcels, they have passed an ordinance through the city of Plano that basically removes the SSA on those 40 parcels. So we have gone back into our tax records and removed all of those parcels, all 10 years, out of forfeitures. Andy's office then issued C of E's removing the SSA off of those 40 parcels, and then we went back in and did adjustments to reflect what is currently owed on those bills minus the SSA. So going forward on those 40 parcels, there will not be an SSA at all ever again. So there will only be property tax owed on those parcels.
Okay. Do the other homes out there still have an SSA?
Yes. Yeah. But everything that they did was legal, and you know, they did everything that they were to do in order to achieve that.
Thanks, Jill. Mm-hmm. Here's Ed. Clerk of the court, I didn't see Robin. Okay. State's attorney.
No report.
Coroner? Is Jackie? No. Her report is in your packet. Health department.
Good morning.
I'm going to hand out, I have a couple things I want to say to you, but the first thing I want to hand out are our annual report.
Thank you. Watch your step. Thank you. Oh, this is cold.
Good morning.
So I just wanted you to see the array of services. We aren't able to mention every single thing that we do. We don't print a lot of these anymore. Most of these we send out electronically now. I think in the back, in the very back, we try to put out some special highlights very briefly as well. And so these are services that we're very proud of, and it also shows a lot of issues that are out there in the community that we're wanting people to know about and working on as well. So I want to ask if there's any questions about that, and then I have one more item that I wanted to address.
I know you don't like the numbers because it means that you kind of don't want to take the eye off of our overall, you know, goals here in the county, but in the past, I know that Kendall County has been one of the healthier counties in the state by whatever metric they measure that.
Yes.
Is that part of this, or has that something
completely separate? You know, those rankings haven't come out yet for the year. We have ranked second for about 3 years in a row. I don't want to be arrogant about that because we have a lot to do, but we have ranked second in the state in terms of one of the healthiest counties for about 3 years in a row. Those rankings haven't come out yet, and state rankings are just coming out as well. They're based on the same thing, and Illinois is about in the middle on that. So we haven't seen what our county ranking is. That is what we were for 2017. We were second again, and I think DuPage might have been first. Okay. Yeah. So thanks, Scott. Yeah.
I'm sure everybody's seen in the news the outbreak of measles. That's not an emergency.
Yes. Yes. And we've had a couple in Illinois as well. So the measles outbreak is something that an outbreak could just be a couple of people. It doesn't mean huge groups. But what's happening is our parents' generation got everybody vaccinated, and so we have a lot of people that come into the country that aren't vaccinated, and then we have some people that don't know the value of that vaccination. So the death rate on measles around the world is fairly high, but the disability rate is what really surprises people. So it could really cause permanent disability for young people that are getting that.
Here's something that I was surprised by, not measles related, but flu related. We just visited some friends in Tennessee, who one of who is a teacher, and she had several days canceled. They don't get canceled for snow down there, but they do for flu, and that's not something I've ever heard of up here. You know, maybe once, as I'm thinking about it. But is that because of the temperature differences, or
school cancellation?
Yeah,
so if the outbreak is such that either the adult to student ratio is taken down. So, like, if the teachers are affected and they can't run the school, or they cannot contain the outbreak, that would happen. It's pretty rare, but it might be that the adults were very affected. They couldn't get a healthy adult to student ratio. I'm not sure, but those are reasons why that could happen.
Ms. Hunters.
Well, I bring that up because I see right inside the inside cover that you guys provided over 1,000 disease-preventing immunizations to community members of all ages. And I just wanted to point that out because I think what we are lacking in our education of people about disease is that what we're striving for is a certain percentage of the population to be immunized, because this is the herd immunization.
That's correct.
From that taking off like wildfire. And that's not an insignificant number of immunizations that you're giving if we're looking at that overall statistic, for example, of children in schools. I know where the outbreak was. They had unvaccinated rates as high as, I believe, 7.5%, which is huge. That's a disaster level of unvaccinated children, and that's why we're seeing that outbreak. And I want to bring this out, that inside cover there, if you look at just that work alone, and this is by no means the majority of what they do, this is what I want this board to think about and consider when we go to their funding and how we treat them in regard to their funding. It is imperative that this department runs and runs well and is fully funded and is not being sent over a hurdle to provide the services they do. It is imperative their work to the health of this community. And I am making an open call right now, and I know we're working on that a bit, but we have to stop stripping them of funding because we don't like how much their health insurance costs. They're for nothing in that. That's not their fault. And as we've just heard, they're doing an outstanding job compared to the rest of the state, and they're doing it underfunded, and that should embarrass us. So moving forward, thank you for this annual report.
Thank you.
Thank you, Audra. These consistently good results with some resource challenges, and I look forward to continuing to work on alleviating those challenges as much as possible in an economy that's doing well for everyone except for the people who need it.
Thank you, Member Hendricks. Thank you.
Judy Gilmore had the measles twice without a vaccine, and she overcame. Thank you, Judy, for being here. Mr. Purcell, I saw your hand.
Twice? How do you get it twice? I thought it was
twice.
Are there any questions about the annual report before I address one other item?
I have a question. I'm doing the annual report specifically, but my wife always just, she kind of beats on me. She says, it's 1970s calling, not physically, but just when I use a word like this. Or that. When did the term inoculation go out of vogue? I use that term and she just laughs at me. She says, that's 1975 calling.
You know, I don't know, but we still use the term inoculate in a figurative term. So if we're giving somebody a tool or a resource to give resilience, sometimes we call that inoculation.
Just say it's
We use it in other ways
now. Okay.
Even
though you all right, doctor.
Okay, so just one other item. We have in the past for family members who have lost a loved one, either to suicide or overdose, done support groups. And one thing that we started talking about at the end of 2018 is something we thought was very important. I wanted to have a support group for individuals while their loved ones are still alive. And the suicide rate since approximately the year 2000 has gone up about 30%. And we know what's happened with the opioid epidemic. And these are both referred to as deaths of despair. And so we want to, WSPY had me in a little while to talk about it. We want to welcome family members or loved ones who have someone in your family who is struggling with addiction or who is struggling with depression to call us, and we want to invite them to be a part of this group. And this particular group is almost full now, but they can call us and we will have another group. We want to help those families strategize and support those loved ones while they are still with us, and really work on that prevention with them. So I'm going to pass this out.
And that's so important, Doctor. I'm glad that you brought it up. And it's something that this board has tried to recognize over the last, you know, few years with suicide prevention awareness. And, you know, it's just knocking down a lot of those walls, you know, that of the stigma that there's kind of been in the past. And so thank you for your efforts on that.
Amal, is that 30% countrywide or is that our?
It's nationwide. But ours are up here as well, not at
in the county.
Yeah. And it's a little bit different depending on who's producing the stats. But yeah, it's up pretty high.
So is Kendall County up?
We're up as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everyone is. Any other questions about this?
Do we have a specific age range that you're seeing the increase happening in that? Is that our young?
Let me just. So generally for suicide, not looking exactly at our numbers right now, I know that for suicide, when I look at the numbers as I compare to accidental death by substance, those numbers are a little bit of a higher age. Kendall County's mean age, I believe, in 2018 for accidental death was 39, which is a little bit higher than other parts of the state by accidental and drug-induced death. And for suicide, it's usually a little bit higher than that. And that's true all over the country. But we also see a wide range in suicide from youth to elders. So we do see a wide range there, a little bit more men than women, but in our county it's been pretty close for years, but in the nation men lead in that. So,
how does Kendall County compare to that national rate?
We, I haven't done a rate on this because our data is considered preliminary, but we're a little bit lower than that, usually, but it's going up, right? It's going up, so. Yeah.
Thank you.
Very preventable. Okay, thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Dick. Supervisor of Assessments, Andy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Board reviews finished for the year. We certified tax roll to county clerk, did that on January 29th. They've actually had contact with Department of Revenue. They've just about finished up our study. I'm not anticipating any change from them. Sorry. No problem. So assessments are where they're going to be. 2018 total EAV is 3,514,794,834. So we're almost back up to what we had in 2009, which I think was between 3.6 and 3.7, but I have to check that. So it's taken us almost 10 years to get back to where we were before everything fell apart. New construction for this year was 40,480,918. That's also up from what it was last year as well. So We've got a lot of subdivisions that builders are coming into and trying to finish out that, you know, they've been sitting there for 8, 9, 10 years with a lot of vacant sites.
Do you have a sense of where the most growth is coming from?
Actually, I don't. If I had to guess, it's Oswego and here in Yorkville, because that's where the most subdivisions were coming in.
I didn't know if you saw a big increase in the Plainfield Joliet subdivisions as well.
The previous year, I did. I know that there were two subdivisions that they finished out last year, and one that they're working on. So, but as far as the amount of homes, there were more here in Oswego and in Yorkville that they had started. So, also, we'll be sending out senior renewal forms for their exemptions. I've got 5,836 of those going out.
How many? I'm sorry?
5,836. Mm-hmm. There are actually two exemptions that come in that envelope. One is the senior homestead. You only have to be 65 or older to get that one. The other form is the senior assessment freeze. And last year, the state did raise that total household income to $65,000 gross. So we did have quite a few more seniors actually qualify for that last year. And I would anticipate more coming on this year
so,
as well.
So household income, it would be if there is a, you know, extended family?
Yes, it's for everyone living within the home. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, so if it's parents and children or aunts and uncles, that kind of stuff. So
trying to do the math.
Is that does that include their Social Security?
It does, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mrs. Gilmore?
And it's the gross Social Security that includes the Medicare, not the taxable. Right.
Okay.
Mrs. Gilmore?
Andy, did you say you have already mailed those out?
No, they will be mailed out here shortly, probably in the next week or so. We're finishing up getting those prepared. So.
Do the veteran exemptions also?
I'm sorry.
Do the veteran exemptions also get mailed?
Those go out in July.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, those will go out in July. September 1st is the deadline for those.
For what?
To have the senior forms back to my office.
Oh, okay. Mr. Purcell?
Are we expecting a 1.0 multiplier
from Department of Revenue?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like the 15th year in a row or something like that.
Well, I can only speak to 2009, so for the last 10 years, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And just to pat myself in the back a little bit more, we're number one in the state as far as COD is concerned for 2 years in a row. COD measures, coefficient of dispersion measures the difference between your lowest and your highest within your sales ratio study.
Oh.
So we're under 12.
Is that a good thing?
Yeah,
it's a good thing, yes. It's a good thing. Yes, it means that our assessments are uniform and that they are pretty correct.
Oh, okay. Well, that is good, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's a measure of accuracy? On
yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
And what would a bad score look like?
20.
And
who decides
anything
that?
Over 15 is unacceptable by the state, yes.
Okay. How's that?
And
work?
We're at 11.6 something.
All right.
So
you round it up to your own detriment. We're even better than you said.
Well, and I said less than 12. So
how do they determine the
sales ratio study? Same way I do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're dividing the previous year's assessment by the current sale price to give you a ratio. Then you're arraying those ratios from high to low, come up with the median.
Okay.
So, and then the coefficient of dispersion is the difference between each ratio and the median.
Hmm. Interesting. Ms. Vickers?
Didn't the General Assembly pass a new thing that they don't have to keep applying for senior exemption?
Is no.
What? Something changed with?
That's proposed.
Oh, it's proposed. Okay.
But it hasn't been passed.
Okay.
No, that's in the legislative group for this
okay.
year.
Okay.
So the only problem you wind up with that is that you wind up with people who, and actually I had this happen, the senior passed away and the children continued to send the forms in. So, or they've moved to Florida. So you wind up getting exemptions in two different places. However, Florida will go after you if they find out that you're getting exemptions in another state. To the point where I've heard of people losing both homes.
Okay.
So you don't want to screw around with that.
Don't do that.
No,
don't
definitely
do
that. Not. So.
All right. It's interesting. Thank you for,
all right.
For all that.
Sure.
Appreciate
mm-hmm.
it. Standing committee reports, planning, building, and zoning, Mr. Prochaska.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to make a motion for approval of petition convenience for a special use permit to offer the landscaping business at 6725 Route 71 Oswego Township.
Second.
Motion by Prochaska, seconded by Sesich. Any discussion on this one? Roll call.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sesich?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
All ayes.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion for the approval of petition 1905, request from Specialty Oswego LLC, current owners, and Stuart and Paula Weiler, prospective buyers, for a special use permit to operate a banquet facility and a variance to section 7.01.D.10.A of the Kendall County Zoning Ordinance to allow a banquet facility to be located off a non-arterial or non-major collector highway for a 10-acre parcel located at the 5100 block of Schlapp Road on the east side of Schlapp Road, approximately 0.48 miles south of Plainfield Road, on the south 10 acres of the property identified by parcel number 0.0-34-100-024 in Oswego Township.
Second.
Thank you.
I understand it. Can you repeat that?
Oh.
Motion made by Member Prochaska, seconded by Member Sesich. Member Kellogg has left the room for this discussion. Any additional discussion? Ms. Gilmore.
Oh, I think Matt's going to come up. Second question. We had just discussed this one time at PDZ meeting, so it did not get brought up at that time, but I'd like to bring it up now that we could specify the height of the trees and the height of the berm on this property.
So the tree height is not specified. When the county approved the special use permit for the solar panels down at the southern part of the county, they specified 7-foot tall trees at the time of planting as measured from the top to the top of the tree to the top of the root ball, and the trees had to be planted in such locations that would provide a complete screen within 5 years, and any trees that were damaged had to be replanted and removed and ensure that the proper screening is in place in 5 years. The berming height that's shown on here has a slope going down from 737 to 732 on the west side and down to 733 immediately on the east side. So there's concerns about if the berm is too narrow, there won't be an adequate amount of dirt for the root supply for the trees. So if the board would like to specify a specific height for the trees, that's something that could be done.
Okay. The reason I bring this up is we've had a problem in the past. I think most of the board members would remember that problem kind of went on for several years, that we didn't specify it when we okayed the special request. So I would just ask that we avoid that problem by putting it in one of the conditions to begin with.
Mr. Prochaska.
Is an attorney representing the petitioner?
The attorney for the petitioner is here.
Good morning. DJ Mark Kramer on behalf of the petitioner.
Would your client have any objection to us setting the height of the trees?
Not at all. No, that's reasonable.
Go ahead.
I was going to ask Member Gilmore how high she thought the tree should be.
Well, you know, I spoke with Matt earlier, and
which Matt?
Matt Z.
Thank you.
And you know, you talked about the other petition where they put 7-foot trees, and I would think somewhere, you know, 5 feet, DJ would be, you know, okay with me.
Okay.
If that's okay with the board.
That's fine with me. I see a lot of head nodding. I think looks acceptable. Ms. Hendricks?
How far or how close is the nearest residence to the proposed location of the facility?
There are no residents directly adjacent to it.
How close is the nearest residence?
Thirty-nine homes are located within a half mile of the property. my mistake, that's the wrong one. That was the other petition.
I was going to say, really? Because where would that be?
That was the other one. Seven houses are within a half mile.
Seven. 55 decibels travels quite well over a half a mile. That's a lot of noise. Trees will not stop that noise. Neither will directing the speed words inwards. It won't.
It's going to all be indoors.
And so we have banquet facility after banquet facility that creates noises, disturbs the people that live around it. How is that good for the community?
I mean, it creates business. It brings money into the community.
But it doesn't. It brings money to the banquet hall. It doesn't bring money to the community.
I mean, generally, if there's a wedding, people are making arrangements to stay in hotels, spending money within the community.
Mr. Prochaska?
Mr. Hausmeyer, did any of the neighboring did any of the neighboring or nearby homeowners come out to any of the hearings on any of the
That was my next question.
There were two residents who came out. The first resident was the, actually he wasn't a resident, he was the property owner to the east, and he was concerned that people would go across the property lines, and he's got a pond on his side of the property, and the petitioner agreed to put a planting along the eastern property line, which is spelled out in the proposal in the ordinance, and as well as put up no trespassing signs on their side of the property. And then there was one other neighbor to the north who wasn't exactly sure where the location of this banquet facility was proposed, and he was concerned about traffic and accidents at Plainfield Road and the Schlapp Road.
Mr. Purcell.
Mr. Matt Z, whatever you call him, Matt Z. My recollection is that other than the ceremony, which might take place outside, the receptions will be all inside, and this is going to be a new building.
Correct.
Not an old, dilapidated barn. Correct. This will be a brand new building, so I don't know what the difference is. Somebody wants to play music in their building. Just play music in their building.
Any other questions? Roll call.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sesich?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Keller?
Was that with the 5-foot trees or not? We really never made a motion on that.
Are you going to do the 5-foot trees?
Five or seven, whatever.
Do we need to bring this back to amend it to make sure that that's
no,
in
I
there?
Just, I don't care either way, honestly.
Well, the language has to be in there.
Mr. Prochaska?
I was going to make a motion to amend something previously adopted. Since the roll call did pass,
okay.
I'd like to make a motion to amend the petition 1905 to include a provision to have minimum 5-foot trees.
Second.
Motion by Prochaska, seconded by Hendricks.
Do
we just take another roll call then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Does that include the spacing?
Also,
again,
it's a good question.
Get down to the dirty details.
Specifics.
Yeah.
I believe it's,
I mean, I'm not worried about it because nobody around there complained. The previous one, right. We had a neighbor across the street, came to several meetings and complained. No one's here complaining, so I don't really care what they do on the trees.
At the beginning.
What's that?
They didn't complain at the beginning about that. It
right.
Was later.
It was later.
So, after the fact, it was too late to go back and specify anything about the trees or the berm. I'm just trying to avoid.
I get that. Yeah, that's
coming down the line.
So, Matt, what would be an appropriate distance to for these plantings?
Sorry, to provide a complete screen within 5 years.
Perfect.
Right. Yeah. Perfect.
Within 5 years.
They have to.
You're fine with that, BJ?
Yeah. Okay. All right, Matthew. Can you restate your motion?
I'd like to make a motion to amend a previously adopted. Petition 19-05 to set the tree height at minimum of 5 feet trees, 5 foot trees to be completely screened within 5 years.
Second.
Motion by Prochaska, seconded by Hendricks. This requires a 2/3 vote to pass. Roll call, please.
Mr. Purcell?
No.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sesich?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg? Still on. Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
All right, motion carries 6-1. Is that 2/3 of,
yes,
of the members present or of the board?
It's 2/3.
Members present, okay.
Oh, you're saying of people voting?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That'll be of the 10.
If it was members of the board, then it would have failed.
Yeah.
So it's members present. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
That carries.
Thank you.
All right. Moving along. Mr. Kellogg is returned for the record. Admin HR, Liz Flowers is absent, who is the chair of that committee. Judy, do you want to talk about this?
I'd like to make a motion for approval of independent contractor agreement for services to be rendered by Cullen Inc., DBA Cullen and Associates for Kendall County, Illinois, at a rate of $5,000 per month for a term of 1 year.
So moved.
Motion by, or second, motion by Gilmore, seconded by Hendricks. Scott, did you have anything else you wanted to add beyond what you said on Thursday?
Yeah, there's a question asked about being able to have discussions about the main point of contact, and Cullen said that's fine. It's just the direction of the board is the concern that, about the main point of contact.
Thank you. Roll call.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sussage?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Mm-hmm. Aye.
Thank you. All eyes. Anything additional?
No.
All right.
No, oh, I'm sorry, yes.
Oh, Mr. Keppel.
Mr. Keppel.
At one of the recent administration HR meetings, Megan made a presentation of some new GIS portal that we have that's more user-friendly on the web and especially on the phones, which I know has been a request in the past from Member Purcell. So she's going to pass out like a little how-to, and if you'd like to try out the page when you get a moment,
thank
and
you.
If you have any questions or concerns, please contact Megan and the team in GIS. They can gladly help you out with using that.
This is pretty neat. We tested it out at the committee, and thank you for putting this together. Questions? Thanks, Scott. Mm-hmm. Highway, may I have a motion to approve low bid of Truck Centers, Inc. in the amount of $90,183 for the purchase of a tandem axle cab and chassis.
So moved.
Motion by Sessage, seconded by Kellogg. Discussion, Mr. Purcell.
Fran back there.
Come on up, Fran.
Miles will stay up.
So surprised you have questions, Kellogg. Just practicing having you walk back and forth, that is. This $90,000 comes out of your budget, and you budget in your levy each year capital, correct?
Correct.
So this is not, just so people know, it's not out of the general fund, it's not out of the any capital improvement fund. This is what the highway's done for years now, probably, what, 10 years you've done this?
Yeah, something like that.
Instead of coming back to the board and the committee each year, they do a long-term capital plan, and Fran has a dollar amount. He says, if you can, you know, incorporate this amount in my budget every year, I can make it work. So.
Correct. Yep.
Roll call.
Ms. Sussage?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yeah.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
All eyes. Thank you. Next, we have a motion to approve low bid of Koenig Body and Equipment in the amount of $81,037 for the purchase of a stainless steel box, plow, wing, spreader, and miscellaneous equipment.
So moved.
Motion by Sessage, seconded by Hendricks. Any discussion on this item? Ms. Hendricks.
What is this?
We did a little field trip after our meeting to take a look at it.
Fran?
Go ahead, Fran.
These first two action items are essentially one unit, which is a plow truck. So the cab and chassis is exactly what it says. It's the frame and the cab.
Right.
This is everything else that goes on it. So it's a stainless steel dump body,
right,
reversible plow, mid-mount wing, hydraulics, spreader, everything else that goes on the truck.
When
so all in.
Mid-mount wing, that's the one that comes out of the side.
Correct.
That's for,
just in case, I'm sure you knew that.
knocking all the dead animals off the shoulder.
Yeah.
Well, I thought so, but I wanted to be sure because it was in two separate motions. Yeah. And it kind of confused me for a second. So.
We went and looked at it after the meeting just to be certain because he explained it the same way. So the visual would be helpful here.
Right. Yeah.
Mr. Purcell.
Fran, approximately how many years and how many miles do you expect to get out of this vehicle?
I don't know the miles because that can really vary depending on the route, but the years, we're on a cycle of 10 to 12 years.
Okay.
And after that time, usually the frames are so rusted that you just about have to get rid of them.
And then you sell the old vehicle?
Correct. Sell it or trade it in.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What are you doing here?
This was a trade-in.
It was, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
With it being stainless steel, will that...
Yeah, in fact, now with the stainless steel box, it's possible that that could be in such good condition that we might actually transfer this box onto a new truck in 10 years.
So you get 30 or 40 years.
It's possible.
Okay.
Good. Oh, wow. Ms. Hessage.
I think this also came in less than what we had originally intended.
Yeah, we had roughly set $175,000 all in for the whole unit, and so we're just under that at $171,000-ish. So that was good news.
Question or... Roll call. It's like an auction if you have your hand.
You bid.
Yeah. Roll call.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Hessage?
Yes.
All ayes. Thank you. May I have a motion to approve intergovernmental agreement between Kendall County and the Village of Manuka relating to the construction of the intersection of Ridge Road and Holt Road?
So moved.
Motion by Hessage, seconded by Kellogg. Fran, do you want to tell us about this?
I'll just stay. This is a big project, the Manuka, or the Ridge Road and Holt Road intersection project, but the IGA is just a little bitty part of it. So all the IGA does, really, essentially, is deal with lighting and landscaping. And the agreement with Manuka is that we'll put up the lighting and pay for all the lighting, and then they will pay for the energy and the maintenance of that lighting forever. So it's a pretty good deal for us. And then the other thing it does, it allows them to come in after we're done with the project to install landscaping in the green median. So they're allowed to put in trees, but they will also be 100% responsible for the installation and the maintenance.
Mr. Purcell?
Go ahead.
That just reminds me, because as I drive these medians and you see the trees, like every once in a while it occurs to me, and I always forget to ask, why would you put a tree and its roots in the middle of a road?
Because typically you get chloride contamination in the soils in those medians and the trees don't last.
But if they did, wouldn't their roots be doing damage to the roads?
Possibly. Also, the shade and the water dripping off the leaves is not good for asphalt roads. So they're really hard. Landscape medians are really hard to maintain, so we generally don't put them in.
Water dripping on asphalt is not good for
it. Strips the oil off the aggregate.
So when it rains.
If you look and drive the highways, you'll notice wherever there's a great big tree shading the road, you'll find that the pavement below that tree is usually in much worse condition than it is in a nice open dry section.
Are you telling me that we're using material for roads that you can't drip water on, like rain?
Sure.
Okay.
That's what I'm telling you. It does. It does deteriorate the road more quickly on asphalt.
Mr.
The shade, the moisture will work on the road and deteriorate it more quickly.
Wow.
Mr. Purcell?
Mm-hmm.
Fran, I know we've done these agreements before. I'm just curious on the maintenance side. So as soon as this thing is constructed, all maintenance is ours? Is there some type of warranty period? Or?
As soon as it's built, right. The maintenance of just the lighting.
Right, the lighting.
Is Manuka's. Because we're putting up the style they want. It's a black powder-coated light standard with their municipal spec LED light on the top. So because we're doing that for them, they've agreed to maintain them.
Okay. And then just this project in general, this is engineering, you said, or the IGA, I'm sorry. How many dollars will this whole project be?
All in, I think we've budgeted $2 million, but it should be less than that. I think it'll be more like $1.5 million.
And that is additional turn lanes?
Correct. It's a full five-lane concrete section that will be extended up through Holt Road. It will include turn lanes on Ridge Road and on Holt Road.
And how long of a drive is it, a half mile?
The length of the project?
Yeah.
About a half mile. That's about right.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Thank you.
Thank you. Roll call.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sessage?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
All ayes. Thank you. May I have a motion to approve resolution appropriating $1,250,000 of motor fuel tax funds for the improvement of Galena Road from Rock Creek Road to Illinois Route 47?
So moved.
Motion by Sessage, seconded by Hendricks. Mr. Purcell.
Fran, is this just a resurfacing?
It's a full-depth shoulder replacement and resurfacing, so essentially a widening and resurfacing.
What about that bridge right by 47?
Not going to touch it.
Okay, so you're going right to the bridge, actually.
Correct.
That's a big project.
It's about 3.5 miles. Is that right?
Yes.
What's that?
About 3.5 miles.
The length of this project,
right,
from Rock Creek,
right,
to 47.
The bridge, that would be a whole
lot. Well, the bridge is under study with IDOT's Route 47 project, so we're just staying away from that.
May you take care of that, man.
Well, they've already got a preliminary bridge design hydraulic report, so it will be replaced with a triple barrel box culvert that's significantly longer than what we have now, so it will accommodate turn lanes at 47. But that's a really big project, really expensive project, so we're just not getting into it at this point with what we're doing here.
Do they have any estimation on when they would be doing that? Have you heard from them?
I don't know, although I think that part from the water park to Sugar Grove is in the five-year plan, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's funded in the five-year plan, maybe.
Sounds right. Thank you.
Roll call.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sessage?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes. All ayes. Thank you. May I have a motion to approve resolution appropriating $1,900,000 in motor fuel tax funds for the improvement of Fox River Drive from Millington Road to Griswold Springs Road?
So moved.
Motion by Sessage, seconded by Gilmore. Fran, you tell us what is this? This one is just a.
This is very similar, a widening resurfacing. So we're going to get paved shoulders, or these will be slightly smaller at just a 3-foot safety shoulder instead of a 4-foot safety shoulder.
And you won't have to do that area around the park, around the state park. Isn't that already done?
That's already done. So that'll be a simple resurfacing. But essentially, we'll go from Griswold Springs Road all the way to Millington, and we will have a safety shoulder for bikers and distracted drivers and what you know. That's part of our kind of our programmatic thing we've been doing for many years now to get safety shoulders on our roadways. So this will be very similar.
Mr. Purcell.
Into Millington then?
Right down to Millington Road.
The right angle, the 90-degree.
There's a four-way stop right there as you come into town on Fox River Drive. It'll go right to that location.
And then we've done some things with Millington in the last couple of years, haven't we?
Yes.
And how will this be impacted by any of those?
Really won't affect it because we're going to come up to that four-way stop, and that's where this project will end. Most of the money we've invested in Millington in previous years is in the downtown section, by the Last Chance Saloon there, where we rebuilt curb and gutter, storm sewers, and that type of thing. So this really won't tie into that. I mean, it'll tie into it, but it won't replicate any of it.
Okay. Thank you.
Roll call.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sessage?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Thank you. All ayes. May I have a motion to approve a resolution appropriating $350,000 of motor fuel tax funds for the improvement of Caton Farm Road and White Willow Road?
So moved.
Motion by Sessage, seconded by Hendricks. Discussion?
Yeah, this is two different roads. Why are we doing
Mr. Purcell? And Mr. Foss.
Yeah, I was trying to set a new world record for action items this month. This is a very simple, this is just tar and chip. So we've included in the bid multiple roads because it's a very simple, just a seal basically of the existing roads. No major improvement at all, just a seal.
The whole length of those roads?
Everything but the on Caton Farm, it'll be everything east of 47, except the last mile from Arbiter to Ridge, which will be a mill and fill. So that'll be a resurfacing. Everything from Arbiter to 47 will just be a seal.
Is this resurfacing?
This is just the seal.
Okay, so will the resurfacing come back this year, or is that another year?
That is this year, but that is non-MFT.
Okay.
So these are MFT projects that have to go through a board resolution. That other resurfacing does not. Now you will still have to approve that project and bid. But that's transportation sales tax. Correct.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So to tie this back into our earlier conversation, for a tar and chip, that if there are trees along a roadway with tar and chip, I assume that will fall?
Generally not as bad. The oil, there's so much oil in that it doesn't seem to be affected as much by the trees.
Thank you. Roll call.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sesich?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
All ayes. Thank you. May I have a motion to approve engineering agreement with Hutchinson Engineering to perform an intersection feasibility study of U.S. Route 52 and Ridge Road for a not-to-exceed price of $30,000 to be taken from the Transportation Sales Tax Fund.
Second.
Motion by Kellogg, seconded by Sesich. Fran?
This is just a feasibility study. It's out in advance of Phase 1, Phase 2 engineering. The Illinois Department of Transportation has asked that the county be the lead agency on this feasibility study because Ridge Road carries significantly more traffic than Route 52. So they had asked that we put this feasibility study together, then we'll present it to IDOT, and hopefully we can come to some agreement on what improvement will go in at that intersection, who's going to pay for it, and who's going to be the lead agency.
Right now, the traffic count, if I remember correctly, is about 10,000.
Yeah, it's a little better than 10,000 on Ridge, and I think it's only 5,000 or 6,000 on 52. So there's quite a bit more traffic on Ridge. It's very busy there.
And our goal is to also request this back from the state, when the project actually takes place, whether they approve it or not.
Or even, 50% back, since two legs are state and two legs are county. We might be able to get half of that back. That's a good possibility, yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Mr. Purcell.
So just to give you an idea, the intersection of Orchard and 71, the Orchard, how many cars go through there a day, to put this in perspective? Do you know off the top of your head or not?
Which total?
Yeah, southbound and Orchard at 71. Because what I'm looking at is that left turn, that backs up at rush hour, even with the two left lanes.
Two lefts. I believe the count on the north leg, so the Orchard Road side north of 71, I think the total count north and south is around 20,000, between 18,000 and 20,000, I think. So I don't honestly know what just southbound is. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then that will probably be reduced when we eventually do that bypass, I would think.
Hopefully.
The left turns would be.
Yeah.
Just trying to give me a perspective here. Thank you.
Yep.
What about the north leg of 30 and Orchard?
In Kane County?
No, like our portion of that.
Between 25 and 30,000.
I thought.
Okay. Yeah, really. That's obviously our highest traveled road.
And that's higher than 47, isn't it?
It's comparable to 47 north of Yorkville. I think it is higher, though, yeah.
Let's try and pull up the website. Yep.
Thank you. Roll call.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sesich?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
All ayes. Thank you. Next, approve engineering agreement with Hutchinson Engineering to perform all preliminary engineering for Ridge Road widening between Theodore Street and Caton Farm Road for a not-to-exceed price of $234,976 to be taken from the Transportation Sales Tax Fund.
So moved.
Motion by Sesich.
Second.
Seconded by Purcell. Discussion? Mr. Purcell?
Fran, help me here. I don't remember. How long of a distance is that?
1 mile.
That is 1 mile. And when that, this goes back now, early 2000s, when that was expanded to four lanes, that was paid for by developers back then. The section of Caton Farm, or Ridge Road, that is.
Yes.
But I assume we're going to be looking to do some expansion here as well.
Yeah,
that will be paid for out of what, private transportation sales tax?
It is, and we were all thinking that southbound part would be built by developers as well, and we've been sitting here for 10, 12 years waiting for that, and it hasn't happened. So,
okay.
Yeah.
And what kind of dollars is that whole project going to be, you think?
It's a guess because we haven't even started on the engineering, but I would guess somewhere between $2 and $3 million.
For a
Based on the engineering, you know, the preliminary is usually around 10%, so I would say the cost of the total project's probably somewhere between $2 and $3 million.
Would that be concrete?
No, well, everything else on Ridge in that location is asphalt, so we would probably stay consistent with that, yeah.
So and, it's just, what, the southern part near 80s will be concrete?
Correct.
Where the truck traffic is really heavy truck traffic.
Correct. And the warehousing, so there's so much trucks there, it would
yeah,
be.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
Roll call.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sussex?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
All
eyes. Finally, may I have a motion to approve a resolution providing for spring road postings of certain county highways? And is that's in our packet?
So moved.
Motion second. By Purcell, seconded by Sesich. Mr. Purcell?
Fran, is this the same as we've done the previous years?
Exactly the same.
Thank you.
Roll call.
Ms. Sesich?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
All eyes. Ms. Hendricks?
I just had a couple of questions for you. This is another one of those I always forget to ask, but I have to. I've literally heard several times now from people traveling north on 47, the light at Jericho is wonky lately.
Okay.
And so it's frequently at rush hour doing a blinking red light, which is a disaster.
Which is really bad.
Been happening a lot lately. So I want to know, are you aware of the wonkiness? Can you let them know there's something wonky going on with that? And also request that they change the timing, because
technical
even time. When it is running properly, it's backing up traffic on 47, like you can't believe. Because
oh, I believe it. I've been there.
Far too short.
Yeah.
And that's like a rush hour mm-hmm. problem for people. The other thing that I've been made aware of recently, and we kind of talked about this a little bit, but apparently I'm not the only crabby person who will complain about it, is Van Emmon outside of the Yorkville city limits. I think it's been a bad winter for them, because I've literally now heard from, I must be the only person people call to complain to. I don't know.
You're not.
The potholes, I guess, have gotten
this
really, really
sorry.
Bad.
On my way in this morning,
yeah,
I saw them patching.
They're patching it
oh,
today.
Oh, they're patching it. Okay, good. So I can call all of the
tell
people
Joe,
and tell them to shut
tell
up.
Tell Joe that they're fixing it.
He was one of
the Van Emmon in 71 stoplight is the really? Best regulated one in the county, though. That one works.
Doesn't that work well?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it does work really well.
So. And the stoplight at Van Emmon in 71 is the most well regulated in the county. You don't sit on either side for very long
it's
before
got
it. Right.
Very quick cycle times.
It does.
Yeah,
it's impressive.
Really good.
And to that effect, I don't know, Fran, you've got some new technology that you're excited about that can monitor these situations. Now, Jericho's not in the county, but
right.
You know that there is a spot in the county where you can now see the box on your phone on the computer.
Well, the equipment isn't installed yet, but it will be shortly, where our technician who works for Highway will be able to get notices anytime it gets wonky. If a signal goes into flash, we'll get an immediate text message that there's something wrong with the signal, and he can probably fix most common problems right from
right.
his phone,
even if it's not specifically
if well, it would only, we are trying this technology just on Orchard Road, because Orchard Road is our busiest highway in the county. So all of the traffic signals that we have jurisdiction of, which are four, Lewis, Mill, Galena, and Cat, mm-hmm. those four intersections will have this technology in them, so that our technician will be able to see and fix any problems much more quickly than we were able to do before.
And we've had scenarios where they've, with blinking reds, you know, for hours without anyone knowing
at
highway.
Knew.
So this will help alleviate that.
Yeah, and we'll even be able to look through our detection cameras to see if there's a particular, you know, if it's a crash or a particular problem. So it's really, really neat technology, and it's incredibly cheap compared to those types of systems that were put in the past.
So just a couple of follow-ups. So I don't know the answer to this, and I didn't. This is why I'm having to ask you. When you notice, like, who should they just call you, and you'll refer the problem on if you need to?
They can. I mean, there are a lot of traffic signals in Kendall County. I think
right.
there's like 76 or something like that. We have 11. So
well,
kind of like Spinal Tap. We have 11.
That was the question, right?
But there's not a lot of signals that we're the lead agent. You guys aren't old enough to remember that, right?
It's like inoculations.
Well, no, we.
danger of being trampled.
Right. So you can call us, and we can refer, and we can notify the correct agency. But we don't, you know, the chances are, if a signal's gone bad in Kendall County, there's a good chance it's probably not ours, because we just don't have that many of them that are our lead.
But that's the question, then. So they want to know, who do I call to report that? Because
right.
It's not like there's a...
You can call us. That's fine. You know, unless it's a Sunday or, you know, if it's off hours, they could even call the non-emergency number of KenCom. KenCom usually knows who the right person is to call. Not always, but they're welcome to call us, you know, anytime business hours. We can call that in then, or leave a message for us or whatever. The problem is, if it happens on a Sunday and there's a problem with the signal, you don't want to have us call it in 2 or 3 days later.
Right.
You know, that's the problem with signals, and especially like on 47, mm-hmm. where there's 25,000-30,000 cars a day and it's flashing red, you're going to back traffic up for miles.
Oh, it was backed up.
Yeah.
Huge. This brings me to another thing. I had the opportunity over the last week or so to travel into what I will an unnamed county where they had railroad gates that, I don't know why, had stuck here and were flashing and dinging. So of course people were going around it, and so I called the number. They had it posted, you know, if there's a problem with this, call this number, because that's the number to call. And it was a Saturday, I believe, and none of the extensions that the recorded message wanted you to use worked. Nobody answered them. It rang forever. So I finally had to choose the extension that was for police emergency support on that. And he then informed me that nobody answers those, and it's quite dangerous. That's a very dangerous situation.
Very.
Right. So I want to know that the railroads and the crossings here actually have somebody manned on that number. Are there phone numbers posted for people to call for those? That was the first time I'd literally faced a situation like that, and I was surprised to see a sign next to it in case of call, because you don't think of that unless you have a moment.
Right.
So I kind of, and it was really dangerous. I mean, people were not really particularly looking. This area of track was coming around a turn to there, so even if you look, you might not see a high-speed train.
This KenCom, again, has numbers that are probably a lot better than the numbers you're going to read on a post, on a poster there at the site. You could probably check with the sheriff, but I believe having a crossing that is partially down, it's an extremely dangerous situation, could be considered a 911 emergency. Mm-hmm. So I think you probably could call 911 on that. And I know in our county, KenCom does have hot numbers for railroads that would supposedly work a lot better than the ones you see, you know, on the back of a truck or on a poster.
And are the railroads required to post signage informing people of what number to call in the event of a failure?
That I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Is that something that we could...
I can find out.
Is that an ordinance that we could pass on the county level and force them to do that?
I don't know you can force a railroad to do anything.
Force them to do anything. But that's what I'm asking. All right.
It's been my experience anyway.
I could not believe how dangerous it was.
Yeah.
Thanks, Fran. Nine
sure.
items and all eyes. That's a new record
nice.
In itself. Finance, Mr. Kellogg.
I'll make a motion to approve claims in an amount not to exceed $1,323,301.18.
So moved.
Second. Motion by Kellogg, seconded by Sesich. Discussion.
Right.
Roll call.
Ms. Gilmore.
Yes.
Mr. Brader.
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks.
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg.
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska.
Yes.
Mr. Purcell.
Aye.
Ms. Vickers.
Yes.
Ms. Sesich?
Yes.
Thank you. All ayes.
I make a motion to approve a resolution setting bond requirement for the Yorkville-Bristol Sanitary District.
Seconded.
Motion by Kellogg, seconded by Sesich. Mr. Keppel.
Documents start on page 96 in your packet, and we have Cyrus McMaines, the Executive Director of the Yorkville-Bristol Sanitary District, here to answer any questions you may have.
Good morning.
Morning. Thanks for waiting through the meeting to get here.
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks.
I just wanted to take a moment and thank the Sanitary District for their invitation to come out. I was unable to do that for personal reasons, but
certainly.
I did notice the invitation. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
What was the final number that we all settled on?
We're requesting 5,000.
Okay.
How are you settling in? I met you the, I think your first week or...
Yeah, it was
so.
Nearly 2 years ago.
Yeah.
It's going very well so far. There's a, There's quite a history there. Fortunately, the outgoing director is still very interested. He stops by every now and then. Even the previous director, Ralph Pfister, stops by about once a month.
Oh, nice.
Oh,
great.
So,
Ralph does?
Yeah.
That's good.
He loves this stuff.
He loves it.
That's great. All right. Any other questions? Roll call.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
No.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sussage?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
6-1.
All right. Motion carries 6-1. Thank you.
7-1.
7-1. I'm sorry.
Make a motion to approve the transfer of the balance of state pet population fund to the animal control fund.
So moved.
Second.
Motion. Wait a minute.
I'm sorry.
Second. Motion by Kellogg. Second by Sussage. Scott?
So this was put in budget to go from the state pet population fund to the county pet population fund. The law says that we can choose either the pet population fund or the animal control fund to put the funds into. They don't have to go to the state anymore. This is one of the ones that Member Prochaska brought up last year. So we want the budget to reflect the recommendation from the Animal Control Committee, which was to put it in the Animal Control Fund. We have more options to use the funds with the Animal Control Fund than we do with the county pet population fund.
Ms. Hendricks.
How much is that we're transferring?
There's roughly $17,000 in there right now, but we do get a little bit that comes in for certain fees for, I believe it's unaltered dogs running at large.
Awesome.
That go into that one.
Roll call.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sussage?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes. Thank you. All eyes. Anything else from finance? All right. May I have a motion to approve the standing committee minutes?
So moved.
Motion by Hendricks.
Second.
Seconded by Sussage. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Regional Office Special Committee Reports, Regional Office of Education 2018 Annual Report. Scott?
The report was submitted to me, and I asked to put in the packet for the board members to read over. If you do have any questions, I'm happy to relay them back to the RWE to get answers.
Thank you. If you just let Mr. Keppel know if you do have questions, or if you know Chris Mahochko, I'm sure he'd be happy to answer any questions as well. KenCom, Mr. Prochaska?
The KenCom Finance Committee meets this Thursday at 9 a.m., and the KenCom Executive Committee will most likely meet next Thursday at 5:30.
Questions? UCCI, Mr. Prochaska?
United Counties Council of Illinois will be meeting on February 25th down in Springfield. We just had a regional training seminar in Dixon last Friday, and there will be one more regional training seminar in Mount Vernon in March.
Do we have anyone to attend? Dixon? Ms. Sussage?
And
Ms. Vickers?
Ms. Vickers and
Ms. Hendricks. Good job. Did you learn anything new? Or?
Yeah.
It's good information?
There was a lot of good information, actually. So I think UCCI is really one of the better trainings that I think we get. So I try to go to a lot of theirs. So.
Great. Historic Preservation, Scott, or is Matt still here?
No. Don't think so. They just had their big annual meeting, sounds like everything is going well. Could we move this item to the night meeting, possibly?
Yeah, no, Ms. Flowers, she was unable to make that as well. She's our liaison to that meeting, but I know Ms. Sessage attended. Do you have anything you'd like to?
Well, that was the first time that I had been in LaSalle Manor, so what a neat place that we have for that.
Pretty slick,
so,
isn't it?
It was really cool.
Yeah.
Very creaky, so, I mean, if you have not had an opportunity to go out there, I highly recommend it because it's, you know, history part of our county. I thought the roundtable discussion was really good. You had people from the community. There was two people from Farnsworth House out there talking about how, and it was really nice to see Jeff Worley too, actually. So, and talking about how, you know, the municipalities can, you know, sort of get a list of all of our historic buildings and things like that in each municipality and come together as a county and maybe have the county oversee, you know, where we're at with our buildings and locations. So I thought that was really a really great idea. So I thought it was really informative, especially if you're not from this county originally. So I feel like I've been out here
it's been 15 years, and I still don't know all the really great places that we have. So it's a neat meeting to attend, for sure.
Awesome. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Juvenile Justice Council, Judy.
The Board of Directors met on January 29th, and so we're, you know, everybody's gearing up for the Sky Race. That is April 27th. It's going to be held at Hoover again.
Oh, nice.
And so once again, I'm asking our county board here to be sponsors like we've done the last few years. And if we all could find $20.
Oh, we're upping it this year.
Support it. It's really good cause. So, also at the meeting, we gave out the truancy grants to several schools: Oswego East High School, Grand Reserve Elementary, Yorkville Intermediate School, Plano High School, Newark High School, Wheatlands Elementary, P.H. Miller Elementary, Oswego High School, and Autumn Creek. We also gave a grant to the OHS Bionic Club. So lots of things going on, but I'm going to get more copies for you guys for the race. And not only do we want you to participate in the race, if you feel like you can, but to support as sponsors.
What's that date again?
April 27th.
Oh, I'm very busy that day.
I thought you were going to run again. Where's HD? He always, I always tell him that he has to run.
I've never run.
Can we watch?
Oh,
yeah. I've watched
people from the county run.
I think, I think Eric and is Dwight.
Run, Dwight's run, Jill and Debbie. And
how far is it? 2.6?
3.2.
5K.
3.2 miles.
Yeah.
Oh,
3.2.
God.
And so this year we're going to have an alternative route if you have a stroller, so you have to go.
You can borrow my dog.
Oh, yeah, David Barella, I remember. He was out there 1 year, too.
Yeah, we have a lot of people. I'm missing names, but there's a lot of people that come out to it. And we've had over 200 people participate every year. So
run?
It's a really successful
event. Let's not go that far.
Like, I want to see Purcell run.
See you and me. Oh.
I want to see the recumbent bike race.
Yeah, there you go.
I want to see myself run, too.
Other business.
Something usually changes.
Yeah, exactly.
I have a question.
Yes, Ms. Hendricks.
So I think Mr. Hillyron is correct. Is there some action we need to take to get the audio of committee meetings posted?
Mr. Koppel?
We are currently working on the website revamp. I posed the question about putting up more audio to technology staff about that as part of the revamp, and if it's the something the board wants to do, we'll see how that fits in. It's always space concerns because audio is a lot larger than text, and that's one of the reasons that we may have in the past only done county board meetings audio online, but we'll investigate it as part of the new site.
Where are we storing it currently, the audio?
We keep them on our servers, but we pay to host the web server at an outside company, so we had space restrictions on that. We'll be again hosting it in the cloud because we don't have the security is just better at a large provider, but I think we'll have more space, so it might be something that's more viable, or maybe we'll just keep like a rolling few months on the website if space considerations are an issue.
We did require county committees to be recorded the audio 3 years ago, 4 years ago. Does anybody remember that? Because that used to be. Were you on the board still?
I believe so.
Because I remember Mr. Shaw was still the chair of it, because it came up, if we're doing the board meetings, why aren't we doing the committee meetings as well? And so we did make that step at least, and if there is a way for us to figure out how to get it up, you know, another take another step forward, that'd be great. Chairman's report. I have a motion to appoint Robert Bob H.D. Davidson. I guess she spelled out all the names to the Raymond Drainage District, 3-year term expiring February 2022. John A. Shaw, Raymond Drainage District, 3-year term expiring February 2022. Marianne Griffith, 708 Mental Health Board, 4-year term expiring February 2023. Lynn Kulick, 708 Mental Health Board, 4-year term expiring February 2023. Todd Milliron, Solid Waste Plan Committee, 5-year term expiring March 2025. Stan Ledewikowski, Solid Waste Plan Committee, 5-year term expiring March 2025, and John A. Shaw, Solid Waste Plan Committee, 5-year term expiring March 2025.
So
motion by Kellogg, seconded by Prochaska. Discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
How did you get Shaw to do two more committees?
Well,
he might not know.
Fair question, Mayor.
Kay said he would be good at drainage, and I think Dr. Tokar has maybe helped us a little bit with the solid waste plan, or Valerie. I'm not sure. It may have been a combo effect.
Be good at getting out of the house.
Yeah. And Todd, thank you for serving on the solid waste plan committee again. I don't think there's anybody else that's here that was just appointed. But
I'd like to see that first district meeting with HD.
Yes, and I am. Thank you, and you are too, Judy. Yeah, Judy and I both will be on there. Citizens to be heard. You have 5 minutes if you say your name.
Sure. Todd Miller in Yorkville. Thank you for taking the audio, my request for the audio, seriously. I appreciate that. To give you a little history on that, back in the day, since I've been attending these meetings starting in 2007, routinely the meetings were done on cassette deck. They were recorded. Then the next meeting, they'd flip the cassette deck over and record over them again. So the audio for those meetings was fleeting, and if you were lucky enough, you might be able to catch it within 4 to 6 weeks, but after that, it got recorded. We did not keep separate cassettes for each meeting. They used the same one for years, over and over and over. And I thought it was a big step to go to digital, and that change has been made, and Debbie's office initiated it initially. And anyway, so that was the beginning of going digital. So the other thing I'm going to share with you is a little bit of research. The Yorkville TIF district was approved by the Yorkville City Council in May of 2018. I discovered recently that the county clerk's office, there's a coding issue regarding the Yorkville TIF districts. It's something I talked to Renetta about, left Scott a voicemail about. Megan in GIS, she's still here. This was two Fridays ago, or 9 days ago. I walked into her office. She was very helpful. It was something that I wanted to know about, because I had a copy of the Yorkville map for their TIF districts, and I wanted to compare it to the county TIF districts, see what had been recorded in GIS. And we found out that the maps didn't actually match. And so I ended up giving a copy of the Yorkville TIF map that's on their website. It's been recorded with their city council, which was TIF 1 and TIF 2, and the overlay for those two districts. And GIS, when I was talking to Megan about the discrepancy, she indicated it was a coding problem. Renetta told me it was a coding issue. Specifically, she had not completed totally inputting all the codes for the Yorkville TIF parcels. What I did find was that there had been 225 PIN parcels that had been coded for the Yorkville TIF district in the county GIS. 94 of them were owned by one individual in Yorkville. One specific property owner, which I thought was interesting. I was hoping maybe that project could be completed, because could be we might find some additional parcels that are besides those 94, and it would be interesting to see the count. Right now, that percentage is around 42% of the TIF district is owned by one specific individual in Yorkville. And so it was something I was hoping it could be finished before this upcoming election, where Yorkville TIF 1 and TIF 2, with all the parcels, were recorded and had been coded and were at the county GIS, so that we could maybe do a more in-depth study of that. I think that information may be useful. It might become an election issue for the Yorkville municipal election, and that information could be helpful to the voters of Yorkville.
Thank you, Todd. Any other citizens to be heard? Questions from the press? Need for executive session? Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion by Sesich. Seconded by Vickers. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. We are adjourned.
That's one thing we learned. You don't have to do that.
Huh? No, we didn't.